of Luke chapter 1. Music is supposed to prepare the heart for the preaching of the Word of God. And that song was so appropriate. God spoke to my heart. As a matter of fact, for the invitation, I may have you sing that same song. So just be ready for that. Follow my lead, okay? Luke chapter 1, we're just going to read verse number 67 for time's sake today. Today is Father's Day. I honor all the fathers here, and those that are in this auditorium and those who are listening by means of the live streaming internet. It's a privilege to be called a daddy, a privilege to be called a father. I'd like to take this time to honor my own dad who's here. He knows I love him and would do anything I can for him. He's been a great daddy and one of the best, no question about it. Appreciate his faithfulness, reading the Bible, faithful to back me up in what we're trying to do. That's a blessing. I praise God for my daddy. I love you. Thank the Lord for you. Luke 1, 67. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied. If you're in the habit of marking your Bible, I want you to mark the phrase, his father Zacharias. His father Zacharias. Let's pray together. Father, we love you today. Thank you for your goodness to us. Help us to be faithful to you and your word. Help us not to add to it or take away from it, but preach through us, through your word today. Hide me behind the cross of Calvary. And I pray that as people look this way, that they don't see me, they don't hear me, but they see and hear you. Please minister to our hearts. Somebody here not saved, may today be the glorious day where they trust you. And help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. John the Baptist was a mighty man of God. He was the forerunner of the Messiah prophesied in the Old Testament. During his life, he was a powerful preacher. He saw the Lord and proclaimed him to be the Lamb of God that was going to take away the sin of the world. He made much of Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry. We see John later in life saying, Christ must increase and he must decrease. John was put into prison for taking a stand against Herod's sin of taking another man's wife. And it was in this place that his head was going to be cut off for preaching the truth of God's Word. This man called John the Baptist was truly a man of God mightily used for the glory of Jesus Christ. However, many times a man or woman used of God has been influenced by godly parents to help him along life's way. And this was true in the situation of John the Baptist's life. Now, if you were here on Mother's Day, you remember on Mother's Day, we considered John's mother, a woman by the name of Elizabeth. And we saw in that message how she was a wonderful example to all mothers and really to all Christians of all kinds. Today, we turn our attention to his father, a man by the name of Zacharias. And we'll see that John's father was also a wonderful man of God. And let me pause here and say that it's a wonderful thing when a mom and a dad are both right with God and want God's best for their child. As we do this simple study today of this man's life, I'll bring this back out in the conclusion. It's interesting to note that how many things said about Elizabeth were also said about Zacharias. And this is the way that it should be. I'm talking about God help our husbands and wives and God help our fathers and mothers to be united and in harmony in the things of God Almighty. Now, as we consider John the Baptist's daddy, I want to apply these lessons that we bring out today to our own life. And may I say to you that all people, fathers or not, can learn some invaluable lessons from this man of God. All of us, especially fathers, can take this particular outline, just like I said about his mother Elizabeth, and we can turn it into a personal prayer list and ask God to help us be like this. Now, there are seven things I want to give you about this man. It's John the Baptist's daddy, his father by the name of Zacharias. Number one, his father was righteous before God. Now, some of this is going to sound similar because it is similar because it applies to both his mom and dad. But this is where the Word of God starts. Look at verse number 6. The Bible says in verse number 6, it says, "And they were both righteous before God." Now, if you back up to verse 5, he's talking about Zacharias and he's talking about Elizabeth. She is barren at this time. They are not parents at this time, but at this time they are both righteous before God. Now, the word righteous here means to be innocent. It means to be just. It means to be right, and it means to be holy. Now, friends, there's no doubt that the greatest thing that could be said about John's father is that he was innocent, just, right, and holy before an all-seeing, all-knowing God. My friends, this means in the sight of God and in the presence of God, this man was righteous. Let me say this to you. The only way this can be said about an individual is if they are a child of God. Because nobody is righteous before God in themselves. It is only through the Lord Jesus Christ that we who are born in unrighteousness can be made into the, right here, into the righteousness and likeness of Jesus Christ. The Word of God teaches us that when we are born into this world, we are born sinners at enmity with God. We're born into the seed line of Adam. And that spiritual line ends in spiritual death. However, because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, because he did give his life for mine, the righteous one, the Lord Jesus Christ, we who are at enmity with God can become righteous before God. Praise his holy name. May I tell you this morning, it doesn't matter how much money you have or don't have. It makes no difference what your name is or not is. What I'm saying, the main thing in life is that you are righteous before God. When God looks at you, does he see somebody that's holy? Does he see somebody that's innocent? Does he see somebody that's just? Could I be speaking to somebody in a crowd this size that you've come into this auditorium at enmity with God? God is your enemy. But yet he sent his son so he can become your father. And all you must do is choose him today. We see that this man, his father named Zacharias, was righteous before God. Romans 3:10 puts it this way, as it's written, there's none righteous. No, not one. 1 Corinthians 1:30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he, God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Philippians 3:9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. The greatest thing said about John's father is that he was righteous before God, period. In the same way, if you're a father today, this is too the greatest thing that can be said about you. A child having a father who is righteous in the presence of God is what this country needs. It's what this church needs. It's what our homes need. We need men, specifically fathers, who are righteous before God. His father, number one, was righteous before God. Number two, his father walked in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. I know that's a long point, but it's a direct quote. Look at verse number 6 again. And they were both righteous before God. Here it is. Walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And the second thing we see mentioned about John's father is how he walked in all the commandments and all the ordinances of the Lord blameless. This simply means that he lived his life in obedience to the will of God. Notice how the Bible tells us that he walked, and I've got all caps here, in all the Lord's commandments and all the Lord's ordinances. This goes to show that he didn't pick and choose what to obey. This goes to show that whatever God told him to do, his answer was yes, sir. And I'm telling you, that he lived a life of simple obedience. And he did it to the point that the Bible says he was blameless. You know what that word blameless means? It means faultless. It means unblameable. It means irreproachable. This simply means that he had a wonderful testimony that he's just going to do what God told him to do. An interesting point the Bible brings out here, and again, we brought out this same thing about his mother, but it brings out that when this statement is given, that he was righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and all the ordinances, blameless, it's interesting that the Bible brings out that this couple had no children. Verse number 7 says it, for they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. In other words, they were getting old. They had no children. And may I remind you that this particular thing was looked down upon back in Bible days. If a lady was barren, it was looked at as a reproach. It was looked at as God judging them. And this goes to show that God's grace does not exempt anybody from trouble. This couple is going through trouble. This couple's going through a trial. However, instead of getting mad at God and questioning his dealings, the Bible says while this was going on and he was getting older, he was walking in all the commandments of God blameless. In other words, no matter what's going on in your life, the simple answer is obey God. Whatever God tells you to do, obey him. Whether you're on the mountaintop, whether you're in the valley, makes no difference. We need fathers today who have a blameless testimony of obeying all the Lord has commanded. Determined to be a father of the Bible who obeys all the Word of God. And may I say again, this is what children need. It would be great for children to have a legacy of obedience to God left behind. Wouldn't it be great if someday God given me life, he may take me out today, who knows? But I would love the opportunity for my boy and my girl to come to my funeral someday if God tarries and gives them life and so on and I'm dead and gone. One of the greatest things that my children, I would hope, would be able to say is my daddy wasn't much, but he obeyed God. It's so simple, it's ridiculous, isn't it? You know where we get in trouble? Disobeying God. Zacharias walked in all of his commandments. Luke 11:28, but he said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. The Bible says in James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Number one, he was righteous before God. Number two, he walked in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Number three, he was faithful to his God-given duty. We see this in verses 8 to 12. Let's read it together. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. Now you say, what's the point? Here's the point. It's brought out in these verses how Zacharias was a priest whose duty was to burn incense. That was his duty. This was his God-given obligation. This was God's will for his life. This was the place for his particular service. And as I was studying this, notice how the Bible says the angel appeared at the side of where? The altar of incense. He came to the place, I'm talking about the angel, the messenger. He came to the place where Zacharias was supposed to be. And it's interesting that the next verse says Zacharias saw him. You know what that tells me? He was in his place. He was where he was supposed to be, so when the angel came to his place of duty, Zacharias was there and he could see the angel. And I'm telling you that the point here is that he was faithfully doing his duty before God. I don't know everything about this job, but I know that this man was found faithful being in the place he was supposed to be. This is where the angel of God appeared. And he would never, now get this, he would never have seen the angel had he not been in his place. He was in his place, faithfully doing his service, and God sent him a message. Now I'm telling you, the point here is every person has a God-given duty. Every person has a will of God for his or her life. And I'm telling you, we need to find our place in the center of God's will. Now, we know that some things are God's will for everybody, like soul winning, reading your Bible, praying, you understand. But there are other things that, just like it was Zacharias' duty to offer incense, there are other specific things that God, for instance, the will of God for my life specifically, that is not for everybody. He has called me to preach. He doesn't call everybody to preach, specifically ladies. Somebody say amen. But what I'm saying to you, everybody has a God-given duty. Everybody has the will of God. Everybody has a place in the service of Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad everybody has a place to serve God? Aren't you glad no matter who you are, He's got a place for you? And I'm telling you, find that place and just be faithful. Just keep on doing it. Keep on showing up. Keep on being there. And let me say here that you may not be much. Join the crowd. But you can be faithful. You can be faithful. Determined to be faithful in the things of God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Let me ask you this question. Are you being faithful to what God has given you to do? Are you faithfully serving the Lord? Are you in your place? Are you there? Are you there? Just like the old thing that I said before about Dr. Tom Farrow when he was here. And turning around right before he left preacher's office and pointing his finger right in my face and said, boy or son, whatever, just be faithful. That's the Christian life. You know what you ought to be to your Bible reading? Faithful in your place. You know what you ought to be in your prayer life? Faithful, praying every day. You know what you ought to be to church? Faithful in your place. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, as long as you're not working, you're sick, you can't get out, but even in times like that, we've got live streaming, you ought to go to church in your home. All I'm saying to you, be found faithful. Faithful. Number four, his father, Zacharias, fourthly, prayed. We see this in verse number 13. Notice the language. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, notice this now, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. The angel of the Lord appeared to Zacharias and told him, thy prayer is heard. The word heard means it's being listened to. It's being listened to. Now I know this is deep. You ready for this? I'm a deep preacher, friends. I mean, this is deep theological truth here. Are you ready? Zacharias had to be praying in order for it to be heard. If it's going to be heard, it has to be given. And what I'm saying to you, according to the context, in other words, what the angel said, notice it. It says, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. Thou shalt call his name John. Seemingly, what he was praying for is he was asking God for a child. But here's the point. He was a man who went to God in prayer, and God listened to him. It's one thing to pray. It's another thing for God to listen. Let me ask you a question. Are you praying? Number two, is God listening? Let me tell you one reason he listened. Because he was righteous before God, and he was walking in all of his commandments, in all of his ordinances, and he was faithful to his duty. So God bent an ear now and paid attention to when this man spoke. You know what I want? I want when I pray for God to say, be quiet around here. I'm exaggerating. I want to hear what this boy has to say. Don't you want that in your life? We need it in our life. We see this man prayed. One of the greatest things that can be said about a daddy is that he's a dad who prays and God listens. That's a great thing to be said about a daddy. This is another one of those points that we can all get encouragement from. We may not be much, but we can pray. We can talk to God. Let me ask you a searching question. If you're a daddy, let me ask you a searching question. If your child has a need that he wants one person to pray for, would he come to his daddy? Or would he go to somebody else? If your child has a real need I'm not talking about they're embarrassed to come to you, and so they go to. I'm talking about they want one person that they have confidence in can get a prayer through. And they can only share it with. Now, thank God they don't have to just share it with one, okay? I'm just trying to get you to think here. If they could have one person pray, would it be you as a daddy? I'm cut right there. That cuts me. I hope it would be me. But God is speaking to me on that point. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Luke 18:1, and he spake a parable unto them this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. 1 Peter 4:7, but the end of all things at hand, be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. How's your prayer life? Now, may I say this to you? Nobody's in their prayer life where they need to be. Nobody's arrived in their prayer life. We could all flood the altar and say, God, help me to be a better prayer. But I'm asking specifically, how is your prayer life? Do you have one? Or are you just going through the motions? Is God listening to you when you pray? We're just noticing this, just a Bible study. It's all it is. It's a prayer list. I hope you'll take it and pray through it. God, help me to be righteous before you. If you're lost and if you're saved, God, help me to walk in all of your commandments, all of your ordinances, blameless. God, help me to be found faithful in my place. God, help me to pray. Number five, he responded right to chastisement. He really did. I'm going to read just a little bit here. Look at verse number 14. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. It's the angel telling him what's going to happen. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. In other words, the angel's saying, your wife's going to have a boy, and here's what he's going to be. Notice his response in verse 18. And Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I'm an old man and my wife well stricken in years. In other words, he's saying, how am I going to know this is true? Are you listening? He's speaking to an angel. He is speaking to an angel. And the angel is the messenger. The angel is the sign. And yet when the angel says this is going to happen, he says, what proof are you going to give me? You see how ridiculous that is? And he says, I'm getting old. What sign are you going to give me? Look at verse number, and the angel answered, verse 19, answering, said unto him, I am Gabriel, I stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee glad tidings. Behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias, and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. You say, what's the point? He's undergoing chastisement here. The angel comes to him and says, your prayer has been heard. Your wife is going to give birth to a bouncing baby boy. His name's going to be John. He's going to be this. He's going to be the forerunner. He's going to do this and this. And Zechariah says, what proof are you going to give me? The angel says, okay, the speech that God gives you, he's now going to take it away from you. You will not be able to speak until this is accomplished. That's at least 9 months. There's another deep thought. In other words, he is speechless for at least 9 months. Can you imagine not being able to speak for 9 months? Please don't say anything there. I realize I just opened the door for somebody to say something. What am I saying? I'm saying for 9 months, he's being chastised. God's trying to get his attention. Now what happens? Look at verse number 62. When Elizabeth gives birth to John, what did the angel tell Zacharias to name the child? John. Back in this day, it was common that if a man child was born, a boy, that they would name him after his father. So when the child was born, they were trying to see what they were going to name the child. Are you going to name him Zacharias? And Elizabeth said, no, his name's going to be John. And then they beckoned to his father. Look at it, verse number 62. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote saying, his name is John. That blesses my heart. You say, what's the point? The point is this. When he doubted God and he spoke this doubt, the angel told him that he would be dumb and unable to speak until the day that the child was born. He came out of the temple and was unable to speak to the people. He was just beckoning about what was happening. This lasted for 9 months. His doubt was being chastised by the hand of God. However, at the end of this chastisement period, we see Zacharias, when asked what to call his son, asked for a writing table and said, his name is John. This is such a blessed thought. In other words, instead of getting angry with God for taking his speech and going further into doubt and further into disbelief, we see this dear man of God submits to the Lord and calls the name of his son what the angel told him to call him. In this, we see this dear man had a moment of weakness. Have you ever been there? He had a moment of weakness that was punished and chastised. However, when it was all said and done, he responded right to the chastising hand of God. He did not rebel and say, he took my speech, name him Zacharias. No, he submitted. He learned his lesson. The rod had cured his disbelief. In the same place, if you're God's child, he will chastise his children when we get out of line in order to bring us to the place where he can bless our life. Don't buck up against the chastising hand of God, friends, but rather submit to it and respond to it right. Hebrews chapter 12 puts it this way. You don't need to turn to it. Verse 5 and following. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. What son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. In other words, it's saying if you're chastened to the Lord, it's because he's received you. He loves you. And he's not doing it for his pleasure, but for our profit. I don't think Zacharias was excited that for 9 months he couldn't speak. I can't see him saying, glory to God, glory to God. I'm talking about thinking, glory to God, I can't speak, glory to God, I can't speak. But as he's going through that 9 months, nothing's mentioned about him. And the next time he's mentioned, he's obeying God. How do you respond to chastisement? It says a lot about your Christian character. Let me give you number 6. This man praised God. Look at verse 64. And his mouth was opened immediately after he obeyed. His tongue loosed, and he spake. Praise God. Once Zacharias obeyed by naming the child John, the Bible says his mouth opened immediately and his tongue loosed and he spake and he praised God. You know what the word praise means here? It means to speak well of. It means to be thankful towards and to bless. Here this dear man of God is. He's undergone a time of doubt, but he has responded to it well by obeying the Lord. Now we see his speech restored. We see him speaking well of God, blessing God, and thanking God. What a sight this must have been. Can you imagine being there where this man has been mute for 9 months? I mean, he's dumb. He can't speak. And finally they say, you know, motion to him, what do you want to name the child? And he writes it down, His name is John. And immediately his tongue is loosed, but yet he's not sharing his doubt. He's not sharing this. He's not sharing that. The Bible says as soon as he speaks, he's just praising God. He's thanking God. He's blessing God. He's speaking well of God. And may I say that his silence of unbelief has been exchanged for a song of praise. In the same way, let us all, fathers especially, see the goodness of God in our lives and break out into heartfelt praise to our great God. Has he been good to you? He's been good to me. He's blessed my life. Has he blessed yours? May I say this, he always has been, always is, and always will be good. Praise God's precious name. Psalm 150 verse 1, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in the sanctuary, praise him in the firmament of his power. Luke 19:37, and when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. Sing this with me, will you? Glory, glory to the Father. Glory, glory to the Son. Glory, glory to the Spirit. Glory to the three in one. Sing it, mean it. I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners. That sounds good. I like it. Give him glory, all ye people, for his blood can wash away each day. Don't you think God is pleased when he hears something like that? Don't you think he just comes a little bit closer? The Bible says he inhabiteth the praises of his children, of his people. You start praising God, business will soon start to pick up, friends. God will show up because he loves being praised. There's a final thing here, and we'll close. That's the preacher's famous lie. But I'll try to close. Number seven, he not only praised God, but number seven, he was filled with the Holy Ghost. We see this in verses 67 and following. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied. Now I'm not going to read it, but all the way down through verse number 79, you see his song of praise. The point I'm trying to say here is this. He broke out into a prophecy in which we see his belief in the Word of God now. What he once doubted, he is now confirming. What he once doubted about this boy, when this boy is now there, he began. It's interesting. He gives the same prophecy in his praise as the angel gave him before the child was born. You can read it sometime. Though that prophecy that he doubted, in other words, what's going to be the sign of this? Where the angel said he's going to be this, and this boy's going to be this, he's going to be this. He doubted it. God chastised him. He responded right. He began to praise God. Then he was filled with the power of God. He was filled with God's Spirit. And he began to repeat what he once doubted just a few verses before. Do you see what he's doing? He's saying, God has worked in my life. And I believe what I once doubted. This boy is going to be what God said. This is the promised one. I'm talking about the one that's going to come before the Messiah. This is the forerunner. I believe, I believe, I believe. And he's saying that because he's full of God, friends. He's full of the Holy Spirit of God. And he's bursting out in praise to God. It's interesting as you read his praise. Look at verse number 68. What's the first thing he said? Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. Notice he didn't say, blessed be this boy of mine, or blessed be my wife. No, when he's full of the Spirit of God, it bursts forth into praise, not for another man, but for God himself. Spirit-filled people brag on God. That's what they do. And I'm telling you, that may every father listening to me right now call out to God from your heart and beg God to fill you with the blessed Holy Ghost of God. Can you imagine what it would do if every daddy listening to me right now would say, God, empty me and fill me with your power and your spirit. What would happen to this place? And what would happen to this nation? When you're filled with the Holy Ghost, your praise and speech will be centered on the Lord, not another human being. And I'm telling you, as we come to a close here, that doesn't mean you're coming to a close. Stay with me. His father by the name of Zacharias was righteous before God. Isn't it interesting that that's where the Bible starts with him? Because all this other stuff is just outflowings of someone that's righteous before God. Somebody who's saved, born again. This man, this father, walked in all God's commandments and all God's ordinances blameless. This man was faithful to be in his place, his God-given duty. This man prayed. This man responded right when God chastised him. This man praised God. And this man was filled with the Holy Ghost. How many men, don't raise your hand, don't shake your head. How many fathers today listening to me? This applies to all of us, but I'm applying it to our fathers since it's Father's Day. How many fathers listening to me right now says, God, I want to be that. Make me like that. Our children don't stand a chance if the moms and dads don't mean business with God. Will you report for duty? And will you be all God wants you to be? Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? I'd like the group to come. Just get prepared to sing. Just right over here to my right, if you don't mind. Father, I pray that you'll take this simple thought and use it in a great way. Speak to our hearts. Change our lives. And help us, Lord God, to draw the net. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. I just want you just to begin playing through first, and then I'll cue you when I want you to begin to sing. If you'll just begin to softly play through it, and I'll cue you to sing in just a moment. I'm going to go right down the line. Are you righteous before God? You say, well, I've got a good testimony at work, got a good testimony with my wife. I'm not asking that. I'm asking, what does God see when He looks at you? Are you righteous before Him? Do you know the Lord? Have you today say, Jody, I'm saved, I'm born again. When God sees me, He doesn't see unrighteous, He sees righteous. I am covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm not relying on my baptism, my good works, my church membership. I'm relying on the finished work of Christ on Calvary. My faith is in Christ. I've trusted Jesus. I'm thankful that I have. I'm righteous before God. Be honest. Raise your hand in the air with mine. Would you do that? Thank you. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Some of you couldn't raise your hand to that. And may I say thank you, and I mean that from my heart for being honest. And may I say that everybody who did raise their hand, there was one day when they couldn't. If you're here today and you say, Jody, I can't raise my hand to that, but I'll tell you this. The next time somebody asks that question, I sure would like to have the surety in my heart that I'm righteous. I'm not asking you personally if you're right. What I'm talking about is, do you have God's Son, His blood on your life, covering your sin, cleansing your heart? When God looks at you, does He see your sin or does He see His Son? That's what I'm asking. Have you say, Jody, pray for me. I don't know the Lord, or I don't have that assurance. God is speaking to me. Is there one like that? We're not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to call you out. I wouldn't embarrass you to say for anything in the world. But you say, pray for me. I'd like to know I'm righteous before God. Is there one like that? Would you raise your hand? Put it right back down. Is there anybody like that? I'm looking. My eyes are surfing. We're not going to come to your seat, promise you that. But I would like to know how to proceed. Anybody at all? You say, pray for me. I'd like to know I'm righteous. Let me ask you this question. You say, Jody, I'm righteous. But God is speaking to me. I'm not going to ask you about your obeying God's commands or faithful in your duty or praying or responding right to chastisement or praising God or spirit-filled. I just simply want to just give an umbrella approach, if you will. Is God speaking to you? If you're a father, would you raise your hand? You're a daddy, would you raise your hand? All fathers, if you would raise your hand just a moment. Is God speaking to you? You can put your hands down. God holds you responsible, sir, for your household. How about it? Wouldn't it be great that as these young men sing in just a moment, to see men grabbing their wives and grabbing their children and coming to the altar? That'd be great, wouldn't it? Be great to see men leave their place and get on their face. I'm inviting ladies and teenagers and young men and young ladies, I'm inviting all of you to come, but specifically today for Father's Day, I'm asking fathers, I'm asking men, get out of your place, talk to God, ask God to help you. Bring your family with you, bring your wife with you, bring people with you. Father, take it and use it in a great way. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. I want you to just to stay seated. And I want these young men to begin to sing. And as they sing, if God is speaking to you, if He's speaking to you as a man, as a teenager, some of you teenage boys need to come and say, God, make me like Zacharias. As they sing, leave your place. If you feel led to bring your family, bring them. As they sing, come, let's do business with God. Would you do it? Come on. Come now. Would you do it?
His heart was broken.
Talk to God.
Mine was mad.
Stand from your seat. Come on down. Talk. Pray. Get a hold of God.
He became sin.
Men.
Now I am clean.
Grabbing your wife. Grabbing your children. Coming forward. Saying, God, make me the man that you've saved me. Make me the daddy that you have made me to be. Make me the leader in the home that you want me to be.
The nails that held him
set me
free.
I love it when men
respond. His life for mine.
Think about it.
His life for mine.
Think about it. Talk to God.
How
give your family to Jesus Christ.
Be
God, I'm letting go of yours.
He would die.
Whatever it is.
God's Son would die to save a wretch like me. What love divine, He gave His life for mine. His scars of suffering brought me healing. He spilled His blood to fill my soul. His crown of thorns made me royalty.
Think about it. Think about it.
His sorrow gave me joy untold. His life for mine. His life for mine. How could it ever be that He would die? God's Son would die to save a wretch like me. What love divine, He gave His life for mine. He was despised and rejected, stripped of His garment and oppressed. I am loved and accepted, and I wear
a robe of righteousness.
His life for mine. His life for mine.
Think about it.
How could it ever be that He would die? God's Son would die to save a wretch like me.
Playing through there just a moment. Let's all stand together, please. We're going to be dismissed in prayer. If you four would like to make your way out while he's continuing to play, let me just make this closing statement. If you have a daddy that's trying to do right, that's trying to be like Zacharias, you ought to get on your face and thank God. If you had a daddy who's with the Lord, Set the example. Sometime today, you ought to get on your face and say, God, thank you for my daddy. Glory. Oh, I want to be the right kind of daddy. I'm glad I had the right kind of daddy. Still have him. But I want to be the right kind of daddy. May the Lord help us. I'm going to close in prayer. If you men would like to make your way out to your table out there, our folks want to greet you. Got some good music out there. Amen. Hope you'll take advantage of it. Be back tonight, 6:30 in your place. Father, we love you. Help us now. Take this thought and use it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Love you. Have a good day.